So my sermon today will have two parts. The first part is going to be about the people in the ancient world hungering and thirsting to believe in the presence of God, and none more so than the Gospel of John. Now, the raising of Lazarus only appears in John's Gospel, and for John, it is the final sign of the true nature of Jesus. And it's pretty public, what with Martha and Mary and their countless friends and family, not to mention the disciples who have traveled with Jesus. They're watching and listening and grieving and hoping outside the tomb. For John, raising Lazarus serves as a transition from the seven public signs of Jesus' ministry to Jesus' final Passover meal and his death and resurrection. So what are those seven public signs in John's Gospel? The first sign was at the wedding in Cana, when Jesus turned water into wine and his disciples believed in him. Listen for this theme of the disciples and the people on the hillside and the people in the boat believing, because that's the major theme throughout John's Gospel. The second sign is when Jesus healed the royal official's son at a distance in Capernaum, and the official and his whole household came to believe. The third, when Jesus told a paralytic of 38 years who was begging near the pool in Bethesda, when Jesus told him to pick up his mat and walk, and he did. And Jesus said to him, "He that hears my voice and believes in him who sent me will have eternal life," that death from life. The fourth sign on the hillside, when Jesus fed 5,000 with five barley loaves and two fishes, and the people believed that God was at work that day among them. There's that theme of belief. The fifth, when Jesus stepped onto the Sea of Galilee and walked out to the disciples who were in a boat on a storm-tossed sea. And Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me has real life, eternal life." The sixth sign, Jesus healed a man blind from birth, our gospel reading from last week, you may remember it. And Jesus said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he said, "Master, I believe." The seventh, today's raising of Lazarus, is meant to evoke the power and presence of God in Jesus, even over death itself. Now, before Jesus called Lazarus forth from the tomb, he looked Martha directly in the eye and he said to her, "Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And then he shouted, "Lazarus, come out." I get goosebumps just thinking about that moment. "Lazarus, come out." And he did. A man dead 4 days, wrapped from head to toe with a grave cloth covering his face. The theme that runs throughout John's Gospel is the importance of believing in the power of Jesus to quench our thirst, fill our emptiness, and bring death out of life. The stories of these seven signs of his public ministry illustrate for us the people and communities who needed God's presence in their lives. They were thirsty for God, and Jesus turned water into wine. A Roman official begs for the life of a loved one, and Jesus heals his dying son. A paralytic is asked by Jesus, "Do you want to get well?" And he is made well on the spot. Hungry for the word of God, 5,000 feed on one basket of bread and another of fish. To reach his disciples, Jesus will walk on stormy seas. "And I was blind, but now I see," said the man healed with spit and mud. And the seventh, Jesus wept for the love of him and at the power of his words, still wrapped in his grave clothes. Lazarus walked out of that tomb. Which brings me to the second part of today's sermon. Those grave clothes that were still wrapped around Lazarus when he walked out of that tomb. Did you notice in today's reading that Jesus didn't remove them, even though he could have? So I want to ask you a question this morning, and it's not rhetorical. I'd like to have some answers to my question. You might want to have your bulletin, your reading ready, because it's going to be from the gospel. What does Jesus say about those bindings wrapped around Lazarus? What does he say about those bindings? Just shout out to me. Who is he telling to unbind Lazarus and let him go? Mary and Martha. Now, why would Jesus do that? Why not just command the bindings to be unwrapped from his body? I mean, he raised him from the dead. What's taken off some bindings wrapped around Lazarus? Why does he ask family and those there to unbind Lazarus, to take the stench of death from his body? Why not have the bindings fall? Why not? I wonder what Jesus was asking them to do that day. I wonder what he was trying to teach them. Could it be that Jesus didn't want them to live in fear of death in the tomb? So he had them tear away the wrappings of sorrow and hopelessness that bound them. Could it be as they freed Lazarus from the smell of death and welcomed him back to the living, that Jesus wanted Lazarus to feel their loving hands touching and caring for him, not seeing him as unclean, but instead risen to new life? Could it be that Jesus asked them to unbind Lazarus so that they understood they were in this together, walking with Lazarus into the reality of his new life? They were his community. Could it be that Jesus wanted them to face their own fears and anxieties, loss and grief, and unbound as a community, walk in joyful life together? So what about today? Do people still desire God's presence in their lives? Do you still desire to have God as a real presence? You're going to raise your hands? You're going to believe? I believe. Verani smiles, and feasting on the word brings it home. As Christians, we believe in the power of resurrection, having been formed in a liturgical tradition in which birth, life, death, and resurrection are cyclical occurrences. Each year we walk through this journey with Jesus. She continues, in this respect, resurrection confronts us with an urgent call, beckoning us to consider the possibility that those whom our world deems socially or physically or spiritually and emotionally dead might live into a new reality. Resurrected men, women, and children today also require caring communities that are willing to nurture and strengthen them until they are able to walk alone, to remove the grave clothes of self-doubt, social isolation, marginalization, and oppression, to tear away the wrappings of fear, anxiety, loss, and grief, so that unbound women, men, and children might walk in dignity and become creative agents in the world. So how do we do that? How do we take off the grave clothes that bind us? Well, here at St. Michael's, we do it in a lot of ways. We go down to the soup kitchen. We build homes in Habitat. Maybe you bake the cornbread, or burn the cornbread in my case. Maybe you serve through worship roles here in the sanctuary by offering bread and wine to your brothers and sisters in Jesus. Maybe It's as simple as walking with someone who maybe doesn't come to church, maybe you don't even know if they have a faith life or a tradition that they come from, and you see them struggling or carrying a burden. And so you offer to lift that from their shoulders by a listening ear or a loving heart. All of these things are removing these grave clothes that bind us and trap us and make it hard to live into this new life that Christ is giving us. We do that in the power of community. I think that's why Jesus asked them to unbind Lazarus, to remind them that they have a role to play in the community. So, my friends, in this last week of Lent, may we continue to seek God's presence, and may we rise from the death of wrongdoing and together walk into newness of life. I want to read the last sentence from our Old Testament reading this morning from Ezekiel. "And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act." May all God's people say,
Amen.